Look, how could I ever have dreamt or imagined it when I didn't even know what the Supreme Court was when I was a kid? You can't dream about what you don't know. And in fact, one of the purposes of this book, a small one but an important one, was to teach kids about what the Supreme Court is, to make them curious about it at a much earlier age than I found out about it.
Something that you also mention in your book, you also talk about how you didn't say, this is possible, therefore I will do it. You didn't look at the chances, you just went head on. But what brings that in someone? Is it nurtured or is it nature?
It's always a combination of the two things, I think. They work together hand in hand. I have, as I describe in my book, an extraordinarily nurturing family. Flawed, like all families are. But flawed people can teach you a lot because they can overcome adversity in ways that can surprise many. You know, my mom had it much harder than I did growing up, and she didn't get on the Supreme Court, but she figured out how to raise her daughter who would, and in the process grew herself.
From your book, many people have asked you about affirmative action. And in Texas, of course, you know, the University of Texas has this case before you all that we don't want to talk about. But I do want to ask you about affirmative action in your life. How has it shaped your views on it? And how have you benefited from it?
I was born a month to the day after one of the most famous Supreme Court cases was ever decided, Brown versus Board of Education. For those listeners who don't know what Brown was, on May 25, 1954, I was born on June 25th, the following month, the Supreme Court in Brown struck down the doctrine of separate but equal in education. That was a major step, a radical step in changing my life and the life of virtually every American. By the time I got to college, I was only the third year of women at Princeton University, and the number of minorities was painfully small, and that policy opened the doors for me. Someone like me would never have gotten in. Every judge is the sum part of his or her experiences, but I think implicit in that question is, does it mean that I'm going to rule one way or another for anything in particular? No. You rule on the law.
Had you been a judge in the Supreme Court in another life, which case would you have wanted to judge over?
If I had been a judge in another life, I would have wanted to be the dissent that Harlan wrote in Plessy versus Ferguson. It was the case that Brown versus Board of Education overturned. That's the case that said that it was constitutional to have separate but equal facilities in education. Now, the reality is it was separate but never equal. What happened? Harlan had the vision to rise above his own experiences and to look at the Constitution and understand its meaning in a very fundamental way. And that's what I think good judging is about, is recognizing that we do have life experiences that can color our views of issues. And we have to be vigilant not to let them.
What is a simple pleasure that you still have?
I have so many. I learned how to dance salsa after I was 50, and I still like doing it. I still love food. Even though I eat in moderation, having a meal with family and friends, cooking, what a joy in my heart. I love exercise. I'm a great exerciser, and I really wish everybody would take it up.
Now, you've reached for the stars. But is there still an unfulfilled dream that you strive for?
I've never imagined all of the things that have happened to me in this lifetime. And just this weekend, I swore in the Vice President of the United States. There was another incredible improbability that I would be an author. And wouldn't it be incredible to be on the top 10 bestseller list? After that, believe me, I'll find other goals. And I have. Every day I live my life to become a better person. And I want to be a great judge. A judge whose opinions will last the ages. But being a better person, it is what I try to do every day I live.